శంకరాచార్యం కేశవం బాదరాయణం సూత్రభాష్యకృతౌ వందే భగవంతౌ పునః పునః ఈశ్వరో గురురాత్మేతి మూర్తిభేద విభాగినే వ్యోమవద్వ్యాప్తదేహాయ దక్షిణామూర్తయే నమః.
వేదో నిత్యమధీయతాం తదుదితం
కర్మస్వనుష్ఠీయతాం
తేనేశస్య విధీయతామపచితిః
కామ్యేమతిస్త్యజ్యతాం
పాపౌఘః పరిధూయతాం భవసుఖే దోషోనుసంధీయతాం
ఆత్మేచ్ఛావ్యవసీయతాం నిజగృహాత్
పూర్ణం వినిర్గమ్యతాం.
యసి సాధన పంచకం వేర్ ఇన్ 5 శ్లోకాస్ 40 instructions or suggestions are given by Shankaracharya ji. The first one is Vedah Nityam Adhiyata. Let Veda be studied, Adhiyatam be studied, Nityam regularly. And we were seeing what is Veda. In Tattva Bodha introduction we had seen Veda, the word Veda is derived from Vid Dhatu. Vid means to know. Vidyate, Jnayate, Anena, Iti Vedaha. Means that body of knowledge through which one knows. Means it is the body of knowledge, the source of knowledge. That is Vedaha. And Veda is the source of that knowledge which cannot be attained by any other means. Veda is the source of that knowledge which cannot be attained by any other means of knowledge. That is why Veda is not like a physics books or chemistry books. What is the difference between this book? We have physics, chemistry books and this Veda. The book of physics is containing certain laws like Newton's law, Pascal's law, Boyle's law, all the laws are there. But how did those scientists derive those laws? By observation. Pratyaksha Pramana they used. And they analyzed the data and formulated certain laws. And they are written in the book called Physics. Now, when you read it, and if you have any doubt, you can verify what has been said there by experimentation. You can verify. How do you verify? You verify by Pratyaksha Pramanam and the analysis of data based on Pratyaksha Pramanam. Pratyaksha Pramanam is direct means of knowledge, sense organs primarily. You can verify. So physics is not a primary source of knowledge, really speaking. It is the secondary source of knowledge. It is telling something which is available through or available from the pratyaksha pramana. Only it gives us direction how to use your pratyaksha pramana. Therefore, this physics, chemistry, etc., they are not primary source of knowledge. Primary source of knowledge for physics is what? Pratyaksha pramana. And of course, anumana, etc., included. Whereas, Vedas are not like that. Many people think like this, that our rishis, they experienced certain truth and they wrote their experiences in the form of Vedas. That is how it is presented, you know, in these modern books. It is not. They experienced this, how this karma works, and they wrote. It is not like that. If you do a ritual, avahanti homa, for getting money. Avahanti homa is for getting money. For doing avahanti homa, you require some money, of course. But if you do it, you will have more money. Then, how somebody came to know that avahanti homa gives more money? Did somebody do some experiment or what? Many people think like that. The rishis, they must have experienced by trial and error, and one day they found out, if this happens, then money comes. It is not like that. Vedas are not like physics and chemistry based on other pramanas. Physics and chemistry are based on pratyaksha pramana, available for verification. If you have any doubt in law of gravitation, you can verify. And suppose you find some mistake, some fallacy, you can rectify also. Newtonian physics is now somewhat rectified, not rectified, it is refined by Einstein. He considered Akasha to be absolute. Einstein said, no, it is not absolute. And he gave verification for that. So this physics, chemistry, etc., they are available for verification, rectification, replacement. Whereas, Vedas are not like physics, chemistry. They are not based on other means of knowledge. Physics, chemistry are based on pratyaksha pramana. This is the difference between physics, chemistry and Vedas. If this difference is not clear, if we are considering Vedas also like physics and chemistry, the books which need to be verified by other means of knowledge, then our approach towards Vedas is not proper. In fact, it will not bless you. Especially in Vedanta, it will not bless you. And therefore, we don't look upon Vedas like physics and chemistry, the theory books available for verification by some experimentation. Vedas are like our sense organs. Your eyes are seeing a particular color. For seeing the color, your eyes are pramana. If you have any doubt, perhaps you can cleanse your eyes, wash your eyes. We require wear glasses. Bring more light. All these you can do. But finally, you have to depend upon the eyes. The eyes are primary pramanam in the area of seeing colors, forms and colors. And primary pramanams are not questioned. Similarly, these Vedas are like our eyes and ears. That's why Pujya Swami the other day, he said, what is Sharanagati? He said, you already know what is Sharanagati. Sharanagati means surrendering. Surrendering to Guru and Shastra is this. How you surrender to your eyes with reference to the knowledge of forms and colors? Same attitude towards Vedas. Vedas are as valid as our eyes and ears. Not like physics and chemistry. So Vedas are not based on some experiments done by somebody. Even though we would like to know, feel that way, how nice somebody did experiment and then we are getting this benefit of that and all. It may sound good, but it will not stand scrutiny. And therefore, Vedas are pramanam by themselves in the area which cannot be verified or contradicted by any other means of knowledge. Suppose Vedas say something which can be verified by us, then in that sentence Veda does not have tatpaya. In Vedas there are so many sentences which we can figure out by ourselves, but those sentences are not having the tatparyam, the main commitment of Vedas. Like in the class, I may talk about software, hardware, etc., but you are not coming here to study software, hardware, isn't it? My tatparyam, my purpose is not to give you information about software, hardware. Even if I say that is incidental information for giving some example or explaining certain point or glorifying certain things. In Sanskrit it's called arthavada, glorification. But tatparyam of Vedas, any particular mantra, tatparyam of Vedas will be only in that subject matter which cannot be figured out by any other means of knowledge. If you can figure out by any other means of knowledge, Veda doesn't have its main subject matter in that. Like during the class, I may talk about the recipe of idlis. I may say like this, tell that also. Even though I don't know very well, but I can still, little bit I can say. But in that, I don't have tatparyam. Means tatparyam is, my commitment is not to give you the recipe of idli. My commitment is not to explain you what is the hardware, what is software. Even though I do talk about it. So Vedas have got their main subject matter only in with reference to those things which are not available for other means of knowledge. Vedas are pramanam by themselves. Like the eyes and ears are pramanam by themselves. Not like physics and chemistry. Physics and chemistry are not pramanam by themselves. They depend upon pratyaksha pramana. Their validity, the validity of physics, the book of physics, comes from experimentation. Yeah, what is said there, it is there. What is said in the physics book, I can see that, you are verifying. What Veda talks about, you can see if you perform the ritual, you get the result. But still, how it works? Vedas are talking that this particular ritual creates some punyam, and that punyam gives you the result. For that you don't have any means to verify. You did a ritual and that ritual created punyam, and that punyam will give you the result. In that particular statement that this particular ritual gives punyam, fructifying in this particular result, in that particular statement, or in that particular subject matter, Veda has got validity. So Vedas, Pramana, Vedas Tatpuryam, Tatpuryam is in particular, that portion is in talking about those things which cannot be figured out by any other means of knowledge. If this is not clear, we will have so many questions. So Vedas are like our eyes and ears, pramanam, valid by themselves. And these Vedas are divided in various ways. Yesterday we were seeing there are four Vedas: Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, Atharva Veda. Rigveda is the Veda which is consisting of Rukmantra. And Rukmantras are those which have got definite number of letters and quarters. Structured mantras, they are called Rukmantras. And Rigveda is mainly consisting of this type of mantras, structured mantras. And Yajurvedas are containing the prose, Vakya Rupani. Having the mantras, they are also called mantras. The unit of Yajurveda is also called mantra. But that mantra may not have this structured configuration. Not definite structure, it will be in the form of vakyas, the sentences. Samaveda is consisting of Sama mantras which are set to music. Giti Vishishta, Vishishtam Sama. That which is having this music which can be sung. Those mantras are called Sama mantras. And the Veda which is containing Sama mantras are called Samavedas. The fourth Veda is Atharva Veda. Atharva is not a type of mantra. Atharva is name of the Rishi who has seen the mantras of these Vedas. So the fourth Veda is named after the Rishi who has visualized the mantras. In Tattva Bodha we have seen this part. Vedas are not composed by any human being. Vedas are gift of God to all human beings. And in Veda itself it has come that Vedas have come from Ishvara. And they have been there since, they have been manifested since the beginning of creation. And they were received by these rishis. And that is why rishis are called mantra drashta. Mantra drashtaraha rishayaha. Rishayaha mantra drashtaraha. Drashtaraha means seers. Mantra drashtaraha means the seers of mantras. So the seers of mantras are called rishi. And they have visualized various mantras in Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda. And here, one rishi called Atharva Rishi has visualized so many mantras, and those mantras are contained in the Veda called Atharva Veda. So Atharva Veda is the name given after the rishi who has seen the mantras. This does not mean that Rukh mantras are not seen by rishis. They are also seen by rishis. But the name given there is based on the type of mantra. Here, the name is given based on the rishi. And in Atharva Veda, there will be this structured Rukh mantra type Here this Yajus mantra type, all varieties will be there. Sama mantra, as far as I know, it is not there. Look, it can have Rug mantra, Yajus mantra. So name given here is not based on the type of mantra contained in the Vedas. Name is given based on the Rishi who has seen the mantras of the Vedas. Thus we have got four Vedas. Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, Atharva Veda. And this Atharva Veda has got another name also. Brahma Veda. It is called Brahma Veda. Because the priest who is participating from this Atharva Veda type, from each Veda one type of priest will be participating in the ritual. The priest who is expert in Atharva Veda and participates in the ritual is called Brahma. It is called Brahma. The Brahmaji, that Brahma. Not Brahman, okay? Brahma. Ah. And that is why Atharva Veda got the name Brahma Veda. Because associated with the priest, Brahma. Alright. So these four Vedas are there. This is one division. Sometimes you may hear that Vedas are called Trayi. Trayi means a group of three. Vedas are called Trayi. And Trayi means a group of three. Then you may wonder, then Vedas are supposed to be four, then why are they called Trayi? Trayi Sankhyam Yogam. Trayi. So there, Trayi means three, and three refers to, the number three refers to the type of mantras. Since mantras are of three types, Rug mantra, Yajur mantra, Sama mantra, and therefore, Vedas are also called Trayi, threefold. Trayi means threefold. Vedas are also called Shruti. We have seen earlier. Because Vedas are preserved through Karana Parampara, through listening. Vedas are not something to be read. They are to be listened to. And it should be listened to from a teacher only. Nowadays, only discount we can give as perhaps you can listen through Skype. But you have to listen from the teacher. People say that, oh, Swamiji, I learned from tapes and all this. We don't consider it valid. Study of Vedas means you have to listen from the teacher directly. Means he should be available in front of you. Yes, once you have learnt, then you can practice with the help of tapes, CDs, alright. That is alright. But you have never learnt and you start with the CD, that is not considered authentic. Bhagavad Gita shloka okay, but especially Vedic mantras are considered to be learned only when Guru chants and you follow. It is called Uccharana Anuccharana. Uccharana means chanting. Guru Uccharana means the chanting by Guru. It is called Guru Uccharana. Uccharana means chanting. Pronouncing. So Guru pronounces or Guru reads the mantra, chants the mantra, and Shishya has to chant after. And generally, Guru will be chanting once, student will be chanting twice. And if you have learnt this Vedic chanting in this manner, then only it is considered to be Veda Adhyayanam. The definition is given. ಗುರುಮುಖೋಚ್ಚಾರಣಾನುಸಾರಿ ಉಚ್ಚಾರಣಂ ಅಧ್ಯಯನಂ. ಚಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ವೇದಾಸ್ ಇನ್ ಕೀಪಿಂಗ್ ವಿತ್ ದಿ ಚಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ಗುರು ಆರ್ ಚಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ವೇದಿಕ ಮಂತ್ರಾಸ್ ಫಾಲೋಯಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ಚಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ಗುರು ಚಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ಬೈ ಗುರು ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ವೇದ ಅಧ್ಯಯನಂ. ಸ್ಟಡಿಂಗ್ ವೇದಾಸ್ ವಿತ್ ದಿಸ್ and these Vedas, since they are preserved through this oral tradition, oral and audio tradition, hearing tradition, therefore they are called Shruti. And these Vedas are to be studied. Adhiyata means should be studied. Should be studied has got two aspects. It consists of two stages. One is shabda grahanam, receiving the words of Vedas. Agni ida purohitam, you say. This is Rigveda mantra. Agni ida purohitam. Teacher says, you repeat. So teacher is giving you the shabda, the words of Vedas. This is called shabda grahanam. Grahanam means receiving. Shabda means words, the words of Vedas. So first stage of Veda study is receiving the words of Vedas. And that time we don't bother about the meaning part. Some people have a complex. Unless I know the meaning, I cannot read anything. I cannot chant anything. This is a modern trend. First you learn. Whatever you concentrate, don't concentrate on the meaning, concentrate on the words. Chant properly. Listen to the teacher properly and chant. This is called Shabda Grahanam. This is the first stage of the study of Vedas. And generally it starts, traditionally it is to start after receiving the Yajnopavitam, sacred thread. Nowadays that particular tradition is not there so much. So Vedas are studied when person is able to read the script. In that, in those days, reading the script also was not necessary. Guru says, you repeat. In that, traditionally, Vedas are not studied keeping book in front. Traditional teacher will not allow that. He said, don't keep your eyes on the, your attention on the book. Listen. Just you have to listen and repeat. This is Shabda Grahanam. The second stage of Veda study of Vedas is Artha Grahanam. Understanding the running meaning, simple meaning of Vedas. Not so much analysis is done, just the meaning is understood. Artha Grahanam. And of course, in that also Arthagranam, first you understand simple meaning and afterwards you can enter into the Mimamsa, the analysis of Vedic sentence. So Shabda Grahanam, receiving the words of Vedas, and then second is Arthagranam, receiving or grasping the meaning of the words of Vedas. And in that, again we can subdivide. First you understand general meaning of Vedas. Means every sentence is, what are the words and what is the meaning. And for that we have got commentary. Sayana Bhashyam is there. When Sayanacharya was there, he had written commentary on Vedas. It is called Sayana Bhashyam. And so with the help of that, people understand the meaning. But nowadays in part in the school where Vedas are taught, they don't teach this Bhashya. Most of them are happy with the this Veda Shabda only. Most of the priests who are chanting, they don't know the meaning. Mainly they know the mantras. But second stage is also there, and that is understanding the meaning. And in understanding the meaning, two stages. One is the simple meaning of each sentence you understand with the help of Bhashyam, the commentary. And in that further, if you want to have detailed understanding, then we have got Mimamsa. Mimamsa means analysis of Veda. Thus, Vedo Nityam Adhiyatam means Veda should be studied regularly. This is the first stage of sadhana. And should be studied means, first the mantras, the words of Veda should be grasped, should be received, and later on the meaning of the Vedic sentences should be understood. And here it is said Nityam. Nityam is regularly. Regularly means what? Here we are concentrating on this receiving the Vedic mantras, where we are imagining a person has gone to Pathshala. Pathshala means a particular school where Vedas are taught. This is classical approach. Modern time what should be done, I will tell you later on. But actually what was there in Shankaracharya's mind at that time was that person starts his religious spiritual life with the study of Vedas. So Nityam means he has to study regularly. Regularly means every day, except there are certain tithi, certain dates when there are holidays. See, we generally here follow what? Sunday holiday. This is not Indian tradition. Actually, in the Pathshala, in the school of Vedas, they have got Chaturdashi, Amavasya, Purnima, Pratipada, Ashtami. These are the holidays. Okay, what are these Chaturdashi, Purnima, etc.? I think we have already, the scientist, physicist came, he talked about Indian calendar. We have got 12 months. Every month is divided into two fortnights. Each fortnight is called Pakshaha. One is Shukla Pakshaha, bright fortnight, other is called Krishna Pakshaha, dark fortnight. Each fortnight will have 15 days, roughly. And each day is counted. The first day of the fortnight is called Pratipada. Prathama, generally they don't use the word Prathama, first day of either of the fortnights is called Pratipada. The name of the first day of the fortnight. So the first day of the fortnight, Pratipada, there is no class. Only in Vedic study. They can practice on their own, but teacher will not teach. Pratipada holiday. Then Ashtami. Ashtami means the eighth day of the fortnight. First, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth. Ashtami. Ashtami is eight. Ashtami, eighth. Eighth day, holiday. 14th day also is holiday. 15th day can be either full moon day or new moon day. both are holidays. So every fortnight there will be three holidays. Pratipada, no, four holidays. Pratipada, Ashtami, Chaturdashi and Amavasya or Purnima. Purnima means new moon day. If it is a dark fortnight, there will be Amavasya. So in Amavasya, on Amavasya also holiday. So Pratipada, Ashtami, Chaturdashi and Amavasya. If it is a bright fortnight, then Pratipada, Ashtami, Chaturdashi and Purnima. Four holidays. So every fortnight, four, no? Or
four
only. Yes. 14th and 15th day. So 15th day can be Purnima or Amavasya. Both will not be there, no? It is not a Purnima also, that in one fortnight, Purnima and Amavasya both will not be there, no? So Purnima or Amavasya. So 4 days only. And this particular thing is followed now in Kailas Ashram also, Rishikesh, where I was teaching that. There also they follow this. So many holidays, no? Nice. Chaturdashi, I don't know whether they follow, but Amavasya, Pratipada, Ashtami, they follow. Eh? 3 days now. Chaturdashi is extra. I mean, in some tradition they follow. All right. So Nityam means regularly. Regularly means accepting these 4 days. All right. So Nityam Adhiyatam. Vedaha. In that also Veda, everybody belongs to one particular Veda, and that also one branch of Vedas. Veda is a very huge body. We have around 20,000 mantras of 4 Vedas, around 20,000. The biggest Veda right now we have available is Rig Veda. 10,552 mantras are there. Rig Veda. Yajurveda has got 1,975. That many mantras. Samaveda has got 1,875. And Atharvaveda has got 6,077. Yeah. 77, yeah. And maybe some variations, you can verify. So totally about 20,000 mantras are there. All the mantras, all the Vedas one need not study. One can study the Veda he or she belongs to. In those days only boys used to study. And in one Veda also, it is not that entire Veda one has to study. Out of that, there will be one branch, and that particular branch one studies. So he may have to study about, say, 3,000-4,000 mantras. And it takes about 6 years. Because studying doesn't mean that they simply read and go ahead. They have to buy heart. Imagine Tattva Bodha, you have to buy heart. Difficult. On the sadhana panchakam, at least with my heart. It is easy, perhaps. So, that's why it takes 6 years, with so many holidays. And then, person is called this snataka. When he has finished his study, he is called snataka. Veda snataka. Generally, they use the word snataka, graduate. Remaining in Gurukula, he studies Veda. And therefore the first sadhana is Vedo Nityavadhiyata. Now, in modern days, everybody may not have the access to these Vedas. Therefore, this particular instruction can be seen little in extended manner. Veda stands for Vedas and Veda-based other sastras. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutra, in Veda, Ves, other Prakrana Grantha, all of them can be included. Ityasa, Purana, all of them can be included. We have seen there are two types of sastras. Vedas, which are primary sastras, and secondary sastras called Smriti Granthaha, where 18 smritis are there, plus Bhagavad Gita, and then Ityasa, Mahabharata, Ramayana, Purana, 18 Puranas are there. So Smriti Granthas, Ityasa, Purana, all of them can be included in this Vedo Nityamadhyayata. So every day one studies Vedas or Veda based scripture. Now, why do we need to study Vedas? Vedas are helping us to lead our life in balanced manner and finally leading to moksha. So Veda prescribes a lifestyle which will have the fulfillment of all four purusharthas. First, three purusharthas, dharma, artha, kama, and then moksha. Vedas are prescribing the means for all four purusharthas which we are seeking in our life. And therefore Vedas and Veda-based scriptures are studied. These Vedas, from the standpoint of subject matter, they are divided into two parts. The first part we have seen is called Veda Purva Bhagaha, the first portion of Vedas. And the second is called Vedanta, the end portion of Vedas. And sometimes you might hear this word, Veda Vedanta. Veda Vedanta. When Veda and Vedanta both are mentioned, see, Vedanta is included in Vedas. Then how can you say Veda and Vedanta? It is something like if you say Ashram and lecture hall. Ashram and the lecture hall. In the ashram, lecture hall is included. You cannot say his body and his hands. Can you say? It's ridiculous. His body came and his hands also came. Ridiculous to say. Funny. But you see sometimes Vedas and Vedanta. Veda Vedanta. In that type of expression, we have to understand Veda is equal to Veda Purva Bhaga. When Veda and Vedanta both words are used, Veda means Veda Purva Bhaga. When Veda alone is, the word Veda alone is used, we have to understand Veda Purva Bhaga and Vedanta both. And now, the subject matter wise, this is a division. Veda Purva Bhaga, Vedanta. Veda Purva Bhaga, the first portion of Vedas, is dealing with karma and also prayers. The subject matter of Veda Purva Bhaga is karma, and the prayojanam, the purpose, is prayers. Prayers means dharma, artha, kama. Of course, Vedas are prescribing this means for dharma, artha, kama in such a way that person becomes prepared for moksha. But directly what Vedas are prescribing in the first portion are karmas, which are the means for dharma, artha, kama. So Veda Purva Bhaga subject matter is karma, and the purpose is dharma artha kama, in other words prayers. Vedanta is dealing with Atma Swarupa, the nature of Atma. and the purpose of Vedanta is moksha. So subject matter wise and purpose wise they are different. And this Veda are to be received first from the teacher, remaining in Gurukula or any conducive situation, and afterwards every day they are to be studied. Similarly, all other sastras are to be studied regularly. And therefore it is said, Vedo Nityam Adhiyata. Now, the second instruction given here is, Taduditam Karma Swanushthiyata. Here karma, separately mentioned, karma swanushthiyatam. So here three words are there. Taduditam karma swanushthiyatam. Taduditam karma swanushthiyatam. Before I proceed, I wanted to just clarify. All these three words clear? Shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. These three words? Okay. Nidhi, the is little. Dhyasanam, dha is mahaprana, aspirate. If any doubt is there, you can ask me after the class. Alright. Taduditam karma swanushthiyatam. Taduditam means prescribed. Uditam is told, prescribed by tat. Tat refers to Vedas. Taduditam means prescribed by Vedas. What is prescribed by Vedas? Karma. Action. Swanushthiyatam should be performed very well. Should be performed very well. So taduditam karma swanushthiyatam means the karma, the action prescribed by that Veda should be performed very well. Now, what does it mean? Vedas, especially in the first part of Vedas, various types of karmas are talked about. Various karmas are prescribed. What are the types of karma prescribed? The first one is called Nitya Karma. Nitya Karma means the karma to be done regularly, daily. That is called Nitya Karma. Second one is called Naimittika Karma. Naimittika. Naimittika. In English you will write like this. Naimittikam. Clear? Naimittikam. Naimittikam means occasional karma. Naimittika is there from nimitta. Nimitta means occasion. Incident, occasion. Naimittika means that which is to be done when a particular occasion arises. Nitya karma, you don't have to wait for occasion to arise. Every day. Like taking bath, it's not that, oh, if something happens, then only I will take bath. nothing has to happen for you to take bath. Whereas naimittika karma are those karmas which are to be done only when certain occasion arises. Like we have one karma, one action which is to be done when child is born. Jata karma. A karma, a particular ritual or particular activity is to be done when a child is born. That karma is what? Naimittika karma. Every day you don't have to do. Because every day a child is not born. Or some karma is to be done when special occasion comes, like grahanam. Grahanam is eclipse. On the eclipse day, certain japas are to be, number of japas, certain danam is to be done. So those karmas which are to be done only occasionally, they are called naimittika karma. The third one is called kamya karma. Kamya karma means desire-based karma. If you have certain desires, you can do those karmas. If you don't have those desires, you don't have to do it. Whereas nitya naimittika karma, you don't have a choice. According to Vedas, if you are a Vedika, you have to do it. That is why nitya and naimittika karma together they are called vihita karma. Mandatory activities. Of course, if you believe in Vedas. Nitya and naimittika together they are called vihita karma. V-I-H-I-T, vihita. Whereas this third one is kamya karma. Desire-based activities. If you want more money, you can do avanti homa. If you don't want, you are okay with what you have, then you don't have it. Kamya karma. If you want, you can. Otherwise, it's okay. Then, the fourth one is called prayaschitta karma. Prayaschitta means the karmas which are going to neutralize certain violation. If you have committed some mistake, then they will neutralize the effect. Atonement. They are called prayaschitta karma. Atonement means you what is called amend the karma, amends in the form of amends. The karmas which are going to neutralize your certain omissions and commissions. Like by mistake, you know, some animal was killed by you. Then certain karmas are prescribed. That if you do that karma, then the dosha, then the particular evil effect will be neutralized. Those karmas are called prayaschitta karma. So these are the karmas Vedas are talking about. Vedas do talk about one more karma, but those karmas are to be avoided. The karmas to be avoided, they are called pratishiddha karma. Prohibited activities. So Vedas talk about five types of activities. Nitya karma, naimittika karma, kamya karma, prayaschitta karma and pratishiddha karma. Out of this, four you can do. Two are mandatory, one optional. Prayaschitta also in a way optional. If you are ready to face the consequence of your omission and commissions, you did not do it. prashita. Otherwise prashita also is almost mandatory. Because you would like to neutralize the dosha. And thus, when it is said, one should perform the activities prescribed by Vedas, it refers to these four types of activities. Taduditam karma svanushthiyata. Svanushthiyatam means su anushthiyata. Su means very well. Anushthiyatam is again passive voice, lot lakara. Anupurvaka sthadhatu, anushthiyatam. Passive voice becomes siyatam, shthiyatam. Anushthiyatam. So instead of saying anushthiyatam, it has been said svanushthiyatam. Su anu becomes svanu. I think you have been taught this yansandhi. Yansandhi is done in these all levels. Huh? You must have been taught that U plus A, what happens? U plus A. What happens to U? U becomes A. Vakara, not A. U plus A, then what happens to U? U becomes Vakara. And A becomes what? Okay? Nothing happens to A. He is simply saying, ah, what happened to A? That's what. So, U changes to Va. Ukara changes to Vakara. See here, Su plus Anu. So, Su means Sakara and U. That U plus A. So U has changed to Va. So it has become Sva. Sva half, Vakara half, and A has joined. So Sva. Svanushthiyata. So Su means very well. Let the karma prescribed by Veda be very well done. This is the meaning. Huh? Taduditam, there is no sandhi. Tad uditam taduditam. Taduditam taduditam. Tad and uditam joined. It is a samasa. Uditam told, prescribed. I told, no?
Yeah.
Taduditam, huh? Told. Uditam is told. Told by whom? Vedas. And told means prescribed. So taduditam means prescribed by Vedas. Talked about by Vedas. So taduditam means prescribed, talked about by Vedas. What? Karma. So karma prescribed or talked about by Veda should be very well done. So very well means what? It should be done following the procedure prescribed in Vedas. Like Pujya Swamiji tells in Tamil, no? That you pour ghee and I am
mutton.
I will put sticks. I will throw sticks. That is not yajna. So much specification is there. In that it will be said that before offering ghee, all of you know what is ghee. You know ghee, purified butter. Let me translate that as purified butter. It's called ghee. That ghee, purified butter, no?
Clarified.
Good, you clarified, yeah. In my mind, it was purified butter, yeah. But clarified is correct, yeah. So, this clarified butter, it is before offering, the wife has to see that ghee. That's the rule. Simply she sees the ghee, then one part of the ritual is over. One may wonder why. That is the procedure. If wife doesn't see that ghee, then your yajna is incomplete. And don't give logic. No, wife has to see because wife is very, very efficient in managing things. All these don't bring. even though wife has brought the ghee, but when that particular procedure is there, wife again has to come and see. She cannot tell from inside, oh, I have already seen. No. It has to go through that procedure, and then the step comes when wife has to see that ghee, she has to come and see it. Even though she herself had put the ghee and gone inside, still that is not valid. She has to come and see. I want to say that there is specification. And for that you cannot tell me what is that Swamiji, whether wife sees ghee or not. After all, ghee is to be offered. Then why are you offering ghee? You can offer oil also. If you are asking me here, I will tell you further. Why are you offering ghee? You can offer oil also. No, but Shastra says. Ghee also Shastra. In fact, you can offer kerosene also. Petrol also. Diesel also. Why ghee are you offering? Shastra. So, one time Shastra says, and another time, it will okay. Follow the procedure. Any karma, especially this big karma we do, it is considered to be complete when three things are followed. Vidhi, Shraddha and Dakshina. Then only that any ritual is complete. Especially this big rituals. Shraddha, Vidhi. Vidhi means procedure. And Dakshina. You cannot say, he's my uncle only, why to give him money? No. He is your uncle, but still you have to give specified amount of money, whatever Veda says. You have to do equivalent. Okay. That is why Svanushthiyata means following the procedure prescribed in Vedas, you should perform the karma. More to see.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.